Welcome back to Dropping a Dime podcast. Mark Magana on the airwaves with my boy, the main man, Carlos Perez, here to podcast again to get into some of the NFL draft. We kind of covered a little bit of the NFL draft, Carlos. We did I feel like we did some extra episodes NFL draft wise. We did that quarterback episode, and then we did another episode where we just kind of looked at the draft, what was going to happen, talked about Mac Jones at 3 and how that was going to be wild, and then Trey Lance ends up going 3. So another bonus episode on the draft, I guess, because not that we're necessarily, you know, draft experts or anything, but the draft is a fun, honestly, it's probably my favorite non-in-season type situation, you know, like all-star games, NBA draft, that kind of stuff. I feel like the NFL draft is kind of my favorite of all of those different things. So where are you at on that? You're an NBA draft fan, aren't you?
I mean, my Knicks, you know, I'm kind of into the draft and basketball for that aspect because, you know, for a large portion of my life, we haven't been that good.
Mm-hmm.
We've had moments, but for my Patriots, it's the first time I've ever been this invested into an NFL draft because my Patriots, you know, have been dominant for like 20 years. So I never needed to have to worry about the draft, you know what I mean? So this is the first time I've ever been this like dialed into an
actually
NFL draft.
To listen and pay attention to what was going on, and then
yeah, normally I'm just like, Bill, go for it.
Yeah,
you
right,
know?
Have fun. Don't spend
just
it all
do
in
you,
one
bro,
place.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well, same thing with free agency. I'm like, oh, we got time. We don't need anything else. We're good.
Yeah.
And then this year, for the first time, and last year, a small percentage of last year, but mostly this year, I have been heavily invested into what we are doing.
Yeah. Well, welcome to my life since I began to be a Bucks fan. So. I hope you enjoyed that. Get ready. The draft's like the most fun thing that you get all year. So, well, besides this last year for the Bucks. But let's get into some of the drafts that happened. Obviously, at the top of the draft, one of the big ones, Mac Jones doesn't go 3. Trey Lance goes 3. I think that's the right decision from the 49ers standpoint, although an interesting decision because I think we discussed it and we discussed how similar Mac Jones and Matt Ryan kind of look and, you know, Shanahan and his offensive philosophy and all of that, and then they end up taking Trey Lance to be the quarterback of the future, I guess. Jimmy G pretty much done, it seems like, anyway. So what are your thoughts on that situation?
When we talked last draft episode, we kind of said, you know, whatever quarterback kind of goes to San Francisco is going to be in a great spot no matter what. You can sit behind Jimmy G, a guy who's, you know, sat behind Brady, who has a lot of knowledge about the game. Shanahan's a great quarterback coach, so you have all that good stuff going on there. So Trey Lance could probably sit this year. He'll probably start next year. Or even, you know, maybe they have a short leash on Jimmy G if G starts playing bad or if he gets injured like he has the past, like, 2-3 years. Then Lance comes in, but he's in a great spot. So happy for the young kid, man. What do you think about the pick?
Yeah, I feel like the leash is shorter than they're giving on. I think I think that it's literally just going to be like, hey, we're going to give him like 4 or 5 weeks of prep, and then he's just going to start. Like, he's going to be like 4 or 5 weeks of like game. Hey, you get to, this is what it would look like on a week-to-week basis if you're going to start. So not quite thrown into the fire, but pretty close to it, because I don't think they believe in Jimmy G that much. But the complication is the situation with Jimmy G's contract and his money, and so then what? We bench him and we pay him to sit on the bench? Like, I don't, you know what I mean? I think that's kind of the tough part with that whole situation.
So you think if, let's say, you know, you said a 5 week span, let's say they're 4-1 in that 5 week span, you still think that they go to the Lance, or you think Jimmy G rocks it up?
No, Jimmy G stays. Yeah, I think Jimmy G stays if they're,
because that team is really good. People forget, like, last year was probably a little fluke because, you know, COVID injuries and all that stuff, but this is still a really good ball club.
Yep, absolutely. It is a good team, and they weren't, look, like you said, injuries a big part of it, all of that. But I mean, I think that they are supposed to, you know, get back, get healthy, and maybe with Jimmy G with that team can actually do something with it. I think that's kind of the thing that they were hoping for. But then, you know, 2 years, really, they've had some pretty rough injuries. So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like you can't draft a guy that high. You can't draft a guy at 3 and then just keep letting Jimmy G play. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like, okay, so then, it just feels like at a certain point, win or lose, you start to get to the point, well, then why did we draft him at 3 if we didn't think he was going to be? But then, winning cures everything too, so I don't know. Yeah,
that is true.
I mean,
yeah, but you don't want to end up with like that Tua situation, you know, where Fitz was playing well, they were winning games, and then you put Tua in and
that's true.
Not doing so hot, and then you end up playing patty cake with both of them, and it's just, so I think, like, you, I think you should let Jimmy G kind of play the season out just to see. He took that team to a Super Bowl a few years back. You know how quickly people forget in, you know, sports media how good you once were. He was an overthrown football away from winning said Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I think you give him this year and then either ship him, trade him the next year or...
Yeah, and see, the tough part is you add in what we're, you know, what we're talking about, that when you add in the haul that they gave up to get to three... you know, three first rounders and a third rounder to move up from 12 to 3 and then have Trey sitting there, you know, it's like, ah. But I mean, I don't know. I think maybe nobody says anything, like you said. Maybe nobody says anything if they're 6-2, you know, or whatever. If they're you know, sitting there looking pretty at the midway point of the season, then maybe nobody says anything about it. So that's an interesting one. Obviously, to watch moving forward, and it's gonna do a lot to the league, because if now let's you know, play this hypothetical, if Jimmy G plays well, then what happens to Trey Lance next year? What happens to him the year after? What happens to Jimmy G? Because if he plays well, and then you know, they end up deciding to get rid of him, then what? You know, so you know what I mean? Then you have Trey Lance stepping in, and then you have, I guess, you know, a guy that's a starting caliber quarterback going somewhere else, and that kind of shapes the league there. So it'll be interesting to watch moving forward, and all of that. But a couple, you know, moving from that, I guess we kind of passed over Zach Wilson at 2 to the Jets. The only reason I think I kind of passed over it, and I don't think we have too much to say about it, is because that's been the pick for like a month, you know. So that's just the guy, and at that point, you know, they don't have a quarterback, so it's Zach Wilson's team, so what's next? You know what I mean? And that's kind of where they're at. I will say this about the Jets draft, not necessarily Zach Wilson, but Elijah Vera Tucker, a guard that they drafted, arguably the best offensive lineman in the draft, but playing guard. He wasn't projected to go that high because of the guard position. So not only do you get your future quarterback, but you go and you get a guard, somebody who can help protect. You know, they drafted Mekhi Becton last year. Building that line, building the trenches is something that I don't understand why more teams don't do it. It's not a crazy, wild thing, but, like, teams don't seem to understand it. And then they go get him a weapon with Ole Miss wide receiver Elijah Moore, another good one. And then, I don't know if you saw this, but they drafted two guys, both named Michael Carter. Did you see that? So that was pretty yes, cool.
Yes, that was hilarious.
Yeah, so they had the highlight of the defensive back Michael Carter when they drafted the running back Michael Carter, and so that kind of changed up the whole situation there. But yeah, they went ahead and did that, and I think, listen, I think they had a really, really good draft for what we expect to see from the Jets. Now, saying they had a really good draft 2 days after the draft means little to nothing, because the reality is that we haven't seen them play, not even a snap yet. We haven't seen any type of action from any of the players that they drafted, so it feels like a really good draft, but we really don't have an answer to that quite yet. So I guess that's probably the thing that we could say about the Jets.
I mean, they lead this draft, leading the league in Michael Carter. So that's an accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yes, exactly. And you know what's hilarious? I don't know why. ESPN showed it as Michael Carter as the first one. And then on the second Michael Carter that they drafted, I think he's Michael Carter the second. So, like, when you look at the list, it says Michael Carter, and then, like, two or three picks later in the fourth round when they drafted, it's Michael Carter the second. It just sets up for a hilarious, you know, if you're looking at it.
One of the best memes I've saw of the Jets draft was, the thing was Mekhi Becton and Zach Wilson at training camp, and it was a picture from the movie The Blind Side with the little white kid and Michael Orr.
Basically, because Becton hilarious. Is a big boy. And Zach looks like a little boy in terms looks of like picture. He looks like a baby.
He plays like a man, though. Like, I was watching some of his highlights. Apparently, he was going to be a safety at one point. He was running through guys.
I didn't know that. Yeah, that's crazy. Like,
yeah.
I don't have much belief in him, I'll be honest with you. I don't. Not
he
that
looks
I
like
see
a Caucasian
fail.
Russell Wilson. Like that, the way he plays. Yeah, like he right, looks right. like him. Like,
I don't want to see him fail. I just am so wary about this situation where you get to January and nobody's ever heard of Guy X, and then in April, Guy X gets drafted. That's exactly what happened to Mitch Trubisky. That's exactly what happened to Daniel Jones. And those are just two names. I'm sure we could go back years and years and find that same guy. So it's just always a. Like I said, it's not that I don't want to see him succeed. It's just I'm in a more of a wait and see mode than getting hyped up because I think it's too early. You know, the only guy I felt good about is Trevor Lawrence. But we have tape on him and years of tape at an elite college. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there's something to back that up, you know? So, yeah, that's how I feel about it. But we'll see. Overall, though, they had a good draft. I think the Jets had a good draft. And
the Jets don't have the best track record with quarterbacks, right?
No, exactly. Right.
Like Mark Sanchez.
Right. And you're looking at a new
head coach.
Yeah, head coach. And you know, so you have a lot of variables that can make it go wrong, even if it's not Zach Wilson's fault. You know, at the end of the day, it might not be Zach Wilson's fault that it goes wrong, but it could go wrong just because of the wrong head coach, you know? So, just a million and one questions and not a lot of answers. But the draft, names-wise, looks really good. After that, you know, we spent some time on Trey Lance already. Let's Atlanta Falcons, Kyle Pitts, a lot of sense. Jamar Chase. So the Bengals, I do want to talk about the Bengals draft a little bit. And I know our buddy that's a Bengals fan, Tarek, is going to not take this well. But I really didn't like a lot of what they did. I like Jamar Chase. That made a lot of sense to me. You obviously you get to pair Joe Burrow with a guy that he played with in college. It obviously the top wide receiver, if not second, you know, you can make an argument either way. Although I think a lot of people were saying the top wide receiver. My confusion was in the second round they take tackle Jackson Carman from Clemson. That seems like a bit of a reach, and you know, just kind of looking around the internet, a lot of other people feel like that was a little bit of a reach. I don't know. I wanted them to do something a little bit more significant with that, you know, with that pick. They traded the number 38 pick with Dylan Raddins even on the board and Tevin Jenkins. So I don't know. I wanted to see them go offensive line, but maybe a bigger name. But who knows? You know, names are one thing, play is another. What did you think of the Bengals draft?
I mean, I like some of the picks. You know, they went and got a couple offensive linemen, a couple of tackles. They got a center, right? They got Trey Hill, right? So
yeah,
they got couple of pieces for that offensive line. Yeah. That way, you know, Burrow doesn't end up with a matching scar on his other knee, because that'd be kind of horrible. And obviously the Jamar Chase thing was huge, even though we thought they were going to go with, you know, Penei Sewell, right?
Sewell.
I was saying Sewell, but apparently it's Sewell.
I think it's Sewell,
right?
Something like that.
But yeah, that's what a lot of us thought we were going to take, but you had the insider info, you know, I heard last episode, you know, you knew they were going to take Jamar Chase, and they did.
Yeah, only because Tarek said that that's what they were going to do, and I was like, okay, sounds good, and that's what he said he is. It's not my source. I mean, I got my sources, you know what I'm saying, but that...
I thought that was one of your sources.
Oh, no, it's not one of mine. That wasn't one of mine.
Oh, okay, that's what I was
saying. That was a guy who knew a guy who was a friend of a guy who said that that's what they were going to do, so we were like, okay, cool.
So that guy had a source.
Well, he knew a guy. He wouldn't call it a source, but you know, they get they did get a center, Trey Hill. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just the name recognition thing. You know, again, all these guys could just absolutely ball out. I do like Joseph Asai in the third. Jackson Carman, though, that was a big question mark for me at number 46. A lot of other players available, and if you were going to take a tackle, that was the one you take. I don't know. I mean, at 38, like I said, there were some guys that were available. So, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. Like I said, it's one of those things that we have to, you know, keep in mind is analyzing the draft a couple days after is just, like I said already, it's a pointless experiment. It's based on names and how they played in college, but that doesn't necessarily tell us very much. You know what I mean?
Very true, yeah.
Yeah. So, we will move from them on. What were some of your other... I mean, Jalen Waddle goes to the Dolphins. That one was, you know, kind of projected. Dan
Poor
Campbell.
Jalen, bro.
Dan Campbell,
so
bro.
Bad
I
for
know.
Jalen
he
Waddle.
Didn't get to play with Matt. Dan he Campbell gets Matt, a kneecap bro. Guy, bro.
Yo, Dan Campbell got a couple kneecap guys.
He actually did.
I sent
they had
you
a good draft.
That picture.
Yeah, they had a good draft.
And I'm low-key excited for those Lions, man. I'm excited
You're
to see them
fan
go,
now,
like...
What you're saying.
I'm excited to see them go, like, what... Because of what, a 17-game season now, right? I'm trying to do the math in my head. Like 8-9. I'm excited to see them go 8-9.
You're excited to see them go 8-9, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be a fun 8-9, though.
It's going to be really, really fun,
competitive. Like, they're going to be in some games. And we might see somebody lose a kneecap. We might really see that happen.
Hey.
They're going to be down a couple touchdowns, and somebody's just going to say, fuck it, and go for it. Just bite into one, and...
And that's going to be the end of that. It's going to be the end of that player's game that day, at least.
So they got Penny Sewell, who said he's coming off the ball with bad intentions every single... Or violent intentions violent every intentions, single play. Yeah. Levi said, and I quote, likes fucking people up. So that's a kneecap guy right there. Mm-hmm. And Alan McNeil eats kneecaps allegedly as well. So they got a bunch of guys that are just exactly what Dan Campbell wanted. And I'm excited to see what he does with this club.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They really did. They did a great job with their draft. I mean, outside of even just those three guys that you mentioned, then they get Amon Ra St. Brown from USC, who, being a UCLA, California college sports, he's a baller. He's good. Don't like USC, but he's good. Ifeatu Melifonwu, cornerback from Syracuse, another really good player. Brother of a combine star that didn't kind of flamed out from 2017. I don't know if you remember Obi Melifonwu, but he kind of flamed out. But Ifeatu is supposed to be a little better. Ifeatu is supposed to be a little better, so we'll see how that works out. But they made some, I mean, like I said, they made some good picks. Jamar Jefferson from Oregon State, another good pick. In the seventh round. So, and that's a guy that I saw in the Pac-12 play pretty well. So, I think they made some good picks. And I kind of will be watching them. I feel like the kneecap thing, storyline, though, it maybe has built up kind of an excitement to watch them. Is that, I think that's kind of the vibe I'm getting from you, too, huh?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. I'm excited to see them go 8-9, bro.
Very good, very good. What about...
That's going to be somebody's record. That's so weird. That's odd. Because of the 17-game schedule. Like, somebody's really going to go 8-9. So we're probably going to go 0-17 at one point.
At some point in their life, they might do that and set records for being really bad. What about the Panthers draft, man? Did you... 8-9 is not possible, right? Is it possible? Oh, yeah, because 17 games.
Yeah, because 17 games, right? 8-8, 16.
18-week season, yeah. 17-game season, right?
Yeah. I think, I don't know. Or is it, do they get enough? It's still just one bye week, right? They didn't throw an extra one in there.
No, I don't think so. What about the Panthers draft? Did you have any thoughts on the Panthers draft?
I mean, not really. Not really a team I pay attention to. I know that's your division, so you pay attention to them, right?
Yeah. I feel like they were looking for, the question was, the quarterback, then they go get Sam Darnold, then it's like, okay, that question's somewhat answered. And then they go and get a couple of the guys on there. Honestly, the reason I ask is I think the Panthers draft might be one of my favorite drafts. And I hate that's the case. I feel like they did a really good job. I mean, JC Horn, then they get Marshall, then they get Tremble. Chuba Hubbard's there. I don't know how he's sitting there that late. Devontae Chuba Nixon Hubbard. Was supposed to be drafted higher, and he was also sitting there late. Deontay Brown is a massive human being. Shai Smith. Did you see that? Did you see that meme of Deontay Brown? They said he looks like Blastoise. Have you seen that picture?
No.
Okay. So Deontay Brown is a massive human being, and when he's in his stance. He looks like Blastoise, and it's pretty funny. That's the
Jesus. That's not fair. They drafted Pokemon. That's not fair.
Yeah, but that was one of my favorite drafts. I think that they'll perform well, and I think that they're getting better. And it also couple my opinion of their draft with the fact that I also like Sam Darnold. That's kind of why I feel the way that I feel too. So we'll kind of get through a couple more of these before we get to your Patriots. I know you want to talk about the Patriots. Surtain for the Broncos, Devontae Smith, Justin Fields for the Bears, great pick. I'm glad they made the move. I love that move. Dallas Cowboys take Parsons, which was weird.
I feel so bad for Justin Fields, though, going to the Bears.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it. But Micah Parsons. I'm
talking about for him.
Oh, for him as a player, as a person. but Micah Parsons, Cowboys linebacker from Penn State, is odd because they have Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, and then they get another linebacker later with Jabril Cox, so that was strange too. Love the Chargers draft, love Slater, and I love Asante Samuel Jr. Both of those are honestly fantastic for what they want to do, and for adding players. Asante Samuel Jr. reminds me of Casey Hayward. I feel like that's a comp that was made, you know, and I feel like that's a good comp. And, you know, he's the Charger. So, and then your Patriots. Go ahead, Mac Jones, go.
I'm excited, man. I don't know what else to say. I'm so excited for Mac Jones. Once I saw Trey Lance get drafted instead of, because it was the whole thing was, you know, Mac Jones was probably going right to the 49ers. Once I saw him not get taken in that third spot, I got so excited. I know he was landing to us. I know you may have mixed feelings about Mr. Mac and Cheese, but I'm excited for him to sit behind Cam for a year. But I'm pretty sure he's gonna have a short leash on Cam. If the moment Cam starts doing anything like he did last year, he's gonna get pulled immediately, and Mac will come in and get a chance to show what he can do. Partnered up with his teammate Damian Harris. We picked up his DT. Well, apparently they're like best friends too. So I love everything my Patriots did. I am, like I said, it's the first time I've ever been invested into a draft for my Patriots like this. Picked up a running back, 120th overall. Went and we got another offensive lineman in the sixth round, which worked out really well for us last year with Mike. And hopefully this one is another diamond in the rough again. So we drafted for a need to. So we got a lot of position that we needed. We got a middle linebacker in the draft too as well, which is something that we weren't good at last year. We picked up some in the offseason as well. We signed a couple. So I'm just excited to see how the defense comes together, excited to see how the young guys come together. And I think it's going to be night and day from last year to this year.
I think that, yeah, I mean, well, first on the Mac pick, I'll just say, I do have some questions about him for sure. But honestly, the value that you get him at 15, I mean, without having to do anything, no movement needed, you can't beat that. That would have been that's a steal. So I agree with you there. Definitely exciting. And then, like you said, you know, Barrymore, top-ranked defensive tackle, that's fantastic in the second round. And Perkins was really, really, really good too. I'm not sure why he fell that far. A lot of people had him higher. So a couple good picks were made for you guys. I definitely agree. We'll see how they play out. It's just one of those things. We'll see how they play out. And we'll see how short of a leash they have on Cam, because Mac is not ready. He did play in a pro-style offense, and he's friends, you know, Belichick is friends with Saban, so they would know, you know, they would know if he is ready or he isn't ready, you know.
I think he's ready.
You think he's ready to start tomorrow?
Come week four, and if Mac's, not Mac, Cam. And also Mac is Cam backwards. Crazy. That's like fate, but it's not a story for another time. But I think come week four, week five, same thing with the other situation in San Francisco. If Cam is underperforming or doing anything like he did last year, he's going to be gone, and Mac is going to be in there.
Right.
And he's going to have a great offensive line, so he's not going to get hit like that. He'll have time in the pocket to make his reads and stuff like that. We actually have semi-competent wide receivers this year, so we'll see what we do with that. And we have a great running back trio in the backfield behind him, so he's got weapons, and he's got the protection he needs. So I think even if he's not ready, I think he'll be able to adapt just because of the situation he's put in.
I think you're right. I think he's in a good situation, and we know that if Bill knows how to do anything, It's get his quarterbacks right. I think, you know, he's been able to turn guys like Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy G into draft, you know, whether it's trade bait or whatever, he's able to do something with them. So I think that's kind
of even Matt Castle got paid because he went 10-6 with New England. Yeah. So, and also Josh McDaniel is going to play a huge part absolutely. In that as well. So yeah, he's in a great situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll get through these last couple a little bit faster. So after you guys, Zaven Collins to the Cardinals. I don't have much to say there. Alex Leatherwood to the Raiders. The Dolphins draft, I really like Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips actually was a UCLA guy, transferred out of UCLA to end up playing his last year with Miami. He's a monster. Between him and Waddle in the first round, they added a stud to both sides of the ball. Love Miami's draft. Then Jamin Davis from Kentucky, Kardarius Toney for the Giants is an odd one. I feel like there was better wide receivers there. Slide down a little bit more. Najee Harris, how about that pick, man? Najee Harris was like, I feel like Najee Harris was like a Steeler through and through. Like, I had done it when I did my mock. I had him going to the Steelers. He just is a Steelers running back. He reminded me of what, like, you know, what they would look for in a running back. So I feel like that's a good pickup. What do you think about that one?
I mean, love the pick. They lost James Conner, so obviously they needed a, you know, another stud in the backfield, yeah. And they got it. I love Najee Harris. He was on the Pat McAfee show, and he just, I don't know about him being a Steeler through and through, but he just seemed like a really good kid, good head on his shoulders. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, we'll see what's going to happen. Obviously, the Steelers have more question marks going forward, you know, with Ben and their wide receivers and stuff like that, but still a great pick with them.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I agree. That was a good pick for them, and we'll see how it plays out. Then we have Travis Etienne. I mean, odd, but not at the same time. I guess Etienne was going to go in about this range, 25 to maybe 35, 40. So the Jags pair him with Trevor Lawrence. The odd part about it to me is not necessarily the player, just the situation, because the running back that they had last year, the undrafted guy, whose name is escaping me, but he was good. And I guess picking a running back at 25 is a bit odd, I guess. What do you think about that situation?
I mean, you get him a weapon, you know, I guess.
An unfamiliar face, you know, make him comfortable.
Yeah, so I mean, that helps, that works.
Yeah, you're right. Familiar faces, definitely something that was important for him in the league. You know, coming in, I'm sure that they're going to be focused on giving him that familiar face. And you know, maybe that's why they go Etienne there. So definitely, not that it was a bad pick, I guess. It was just a little bit of a strange one, you know, with their running back situation. So moving on from them. James Robinson, by the way, was his name. That's who I was. James Robinson ran for more than 1,000 years last year as an undrafted rookie, so that's kind of who I was thinking about. But anyways, moving right along from them, first pick for the Packers is a cornerback, because that is what keeps Aaron Rodgers happy, right?
Definitely. I'm surprised they didn't go for another quarterback just to really piss Aaron Rodgers off completely. Did you see the thing, though? Like, Andy Dalton gets the call about them taking a quarterback. Tom Brady gets the call about them taking a quarterback. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't. Like, that's crazy. Like, last year's draft when they took. Like, that's crazy.
I didn't know Dalton got a call. Dalton got a call?
Yeah, Andy Dalton got a call from the Bears saying, listen, we're going to take Fields. But Aaron Rodgers, being a lifelong Packer, doesn't get that decency.
Arguably one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Can't even get a phone call. Then again, Aaron's personality, I feel like, is a little, I don't know. I feel like he's burned his bridges, too. He's obviously, I don't know.
I love Aaron Rodgers. The guy.
I don't.
I've got to know him a lot over this season, and he's a great guy.
Over this
year. Yeah, because he does the Pat Mac. He had every week, they had Aaron Rodgers Tuesdays.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, you get to see him be him, and it's kind of cool to see him under a different light. You don't get to see all the media, you know, shroud, I guess, cast over him, all the negative stuff. You get to see him be him, and it was kind of nice to see that.
Yeah, well, let's see how that plays out, because that's about the biggest storyline in the past, like, 5 years. Besides, I guess, when Tom Brady's a big one when he was leaving, but other than that, Aaron Rodgers. Anyways, and then the Bucks last pick of the draft, Ravens take Owe Russo for the Bills, and the Bucks take Joe Tryon. I'm a Pac-12 fan. I watched Joe Tryon. I was very excited about the Joe Tryon pick. So I don't have much else to say other than that. Bucks fans were a little miffed about Joe Tryon at that spot, but you know. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Tryon's really good, so I think it'll play out well. And
What did you think about your Bucks draft in general?
In general, I liked it. I didn't really have any big problems with it. I don't know enough about Kyle Trask to make a definitive decision. The problem is my Twitter timeline is Florida State fans and Florida Gator fans, and so the Florida Gator fans said that Trask was the second coming of Tom Brady and literally the perfect person to succeed him and everything's great. And the Florida State fans said that he's arguably the worst quarterback of all time and I can't believe we spent a second round pick on him. So I didn't really get a straight answer.
That's crazy. Just position right there. You got dog water and Tom Brady. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those college rivalries taken to another level. That Gator Seminole rivalries, something fierce. I don't know. We'll see. The benefit for Trask is, regardless of whether he, you know, is you know, set now or not. He doesn't got to play now. He doesn't got to play for a couple years. So he's going to be sitting there, and I think Tom's here for at least 2 more years. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, the way he's going.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't really look to be slowing down. So other than that, did a really good job. I like Jalen Darden out of North Texas in the fourth round. That was a good pick, and I think an underrated pick. So we'll see how that plays out. So, but yeah, we are going for 2 for the Buccaneers. So yeah, any last thoughts, Carlos, before we wrap it up?
Well, just I guess we kind of hinted at it a little bit. Aaron Rodgers debacle right before the draft happened. Allegedly doesn't want to be there anymore. He came out today. Only way he sees things if they fire their GM, Gunter Kisk, whatever his name is.
Yeah. Quite a lot of noise coming out of there. So it feels like something's gonna happen, but then at the same time, it feels like nothing's gonna happen. So I don't really know. You know what I mean? Like
Russell Wilson all over again.
Kind of, right? Like you're just like, okay, so something's gonna happen, and then okay, nothing's happening. You know, I don't know. That's kind of what it feels like. So we'll see. I feel like he's going to be a Packer. You think he's going to be a Packer this year?
I think, because like it's one of those situations, like, you know, it's kind of hard to see him leave. But I don't know, the way things have been going and trending for Aaron Rodgers, and that franchise literally doing everything in their powers to not keep Aaron Rodgers happy.
Right.
I feel like it's finally hit the boiling point, and either he's going to get traded, he's going to retire, because the man hosted Jeopardy and talked about how he would love to be the full-time host of Jeopardy, so he's got options. He doesn't have to be.
I didn't know he said that.
Yeah, literally, he was a celebrity host on Jeopardy.
Well, I know he was on Jeopardy, but I didn't know he said that he wanted to be the host.
Apparently, he killed it, did a great job on there, and literally worked it out on, like, you know, how it would work with his football schedule and all this stuff if he did want to become the full-time host of Jeopardy. So he's got options. If he doesn't want to play, he can obviously, you know, go that route.
He's got a million options, that's for sure.
They're really the dynasty that never happened, the Packers. Man, to go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers and only have 2 championships is
Bart Starr,
crazy.
Too. Yeah. I don't know how many Bart Starr won, though. I think Bart Starr had 1 or 2. But, yeah, I think it's a complicated situation with them. They've had, I mean, to be able to go through those three names as quarterbacks, it's just insane, you know, for a franchise to be able to do that. So that's pretty crazy. But yeah, we'll see how it plays out. It'll be interesting to see looking towards the next season what that's going to be like, because that shapes the whole NFL. If he ends up anywhere else, I know the Broncos were a team that was talked about a lot. So that'd be crazy if he ends up with the Broncos, because they are stacked on defense, on offense. They're quarterback away for sure, you know, so that'd be crazy. Or if he retires, that also completely reshapes the NFC. So that's like the biggest storyline that I think everybody's going to be watching heading into the offseason and training camps and all that. So anyways, last thing we'll announce is we did finally get set up with a voicemail. So we are going to go ahead and have access to you for you guys being able to call that voicemail. You guys can call and leave message about, you know, something in the podcast that we talked about, or something, you know, a question, anything like that. You can give us a call. There'll be a messaging answering system. You can leave a message, and then we're going to figure out how to get it into the podcast. We know how to, so we'll go ahead and get that into the next podcast. So give us a call if you guys have any opinions, anything to say. The number is, it's actually kind of cool. The number is 209-565-3463. 209-565-3463, and so 209-565-DIME is actually the way that you can give us a call and let us know your thoughts on that, and we have access to it and everything like that. So that's pretty cool, and we look forward to hearing your guys' thoughts and opinions, man. Looking forward to it, and I guess we'll catch you next time. Anything else, Carlos?
The Knicks are the 4th seed.
The Knicks are not the 4th seed, and we are out.